beautiful, Lacey. Well, good morning, everybody. And happy Mother's Day. Thank you. There are so many beautiful moms sitting out here. I was looking around during worship and seeing so many smiling faces. Y'all put your smiles on, put some cute clothes on, you fixed your hair this morning. And I can pretty much guarantee you that a lot of y'all are tired. I know that a lot of us went to great lengths to cover dark circles under our eyes this morning because it's tiring. We're moms and it goes with the territory. We're tired. But this morning, I want to talk to us, to everybody, myself included, about a gift that we have that we let sit unopened. And it's a gift of rest. So a few years ago, my youngest was just a few months old, had a baby and a toddler, and I was taking a birthday present up to my friend Tabitha's house, which is like a 20-minute drive from my house. So I had the kids in the van, had the present, I had the card with me, but I hadn't written in the card yet. I decided I like to think and be thoughtful and know what I want to say. I don't want to just sign the card. And sometimes it's easier just to get that kind of stuff done when all the kids are strapped in the car seat. So I had the unwritten card next to the gift, drove the 20 minutes up to her neighborhood and pulled over on a side street so that I could think what I wanted to write and get it all ready before we got to her house. So I pulled over and I was so tired, y'all. Like, I don't think I had gotten a good night's sleep in at least like 4 years. I was so tired. So I start thinking through what I want to write to her, get her name written, you know, and the first sentence I start writing, I nod off. And the pen just goes, like, makes this mark down the side of the card. So I'm like, well, I will have to just turn that into a flower or a heart or something because I don't have a backup birthday card. It's just not going to look pretty this time. So I keep thinking what I want to write. I'm writing more stuff. And I'm not kidding. This had to happen probably 5 or 6 times. I'm writing and fall asleep. And the pen just like, zoop, zoop. Like, I sat there probably for 30 minutes trying to just write this birthday card. So, like I said, like, it's not like I had a backup, you know, this is it. So I pulled up to her house and gave her present. She laughed so hard when she opened the card. She's like, did one of your kids help you write this? Like, what in the world? Like, no, I just couldn't stay awake long enough to finish my thought. So that card has become this symbol of, I love you so much, I drove to your house to give you a birthday present instead of taking a nap, which I needed. So during that same season of having an infant and a toddler and one in elementary school, my husband Cliff and I shared one vehicle. So he works in New Braunfels. So our morning routine was to get up, load all the kids in the van, go take Brenna to school and drop her off, then drive down to New Braunfels, drop Cliff off at his office, and then I would drive the little ones back up to San Marcos. Well, I was so tired just getting Cliff to his office that by the time I'd get in the driver's seat after we dropped him off and get like a block away, I would start nodding off like at the stop sign a block away from his work. So there was this Sonic on the way up to the highway in New Braunfels, and I would literally pull into that Sonic and get in one of the stalls, lock the doors, put something on in the back for the kids, and I would take like a 30-minute nap. Like, I would full on head back, conk out, and sleep, because I knew I'm going to wreck this van if I try and get on the highway and drive. I cannot tell y'all how many times I did that. I'm sure the car hops, like, knew my van. Like, oh, there's the mom taking a nap. But kept us safe. You do what you got to do. So I remember so many times just trying to be attentive as a mom, trying to be there for my kids and do the little things, like read a book, you know? And so sitting with my girls next to me, and I'm reading them this story that I've read 100 times. I've got the whole thing memorized. So because I have it memorized, I could kind of close my eyes and start to just go into autopilot, you know? And I'm just reading through autopilot. Well, then, like, after that, my brain kind of switches into sleep mode. And I keep reading, but I start inserting these words that are coming from dreamland somewhere. And so I remember Brenna tapping me on the shoulder one time and telling me, Mom, this story doesn't have an alligator in it. Like, I had pulled some alligator out of somewhere and added it into the story. Like, oh my goodness, we need to stand up and do something else. Like, I can't sit here still. I'm going to fall asleep. So moms know this kind of exhaustion. Being a mama is a 24-hour-a-day job. And there are long seasons in our journey of motherhood that we just need rest. We're exhausted. But there's other intense seasons of exhaustion too, even if you're not a mom, kind of hits all of us. You know, we've got times when we're building a home or remodeling a home. That's a lot of work. Moving to a new location, packing, relocating, getting to know and know a new community, and being a caregiver for an ill loved one. That can be exhausting. It just keeps going day after day. Juggling work and school. Finals week. That's exhausting. Staying up all night studying. So I think seasons like this are really what keeps Starbucks in business. I think they really capitalize on our exhaustion completely. But sometimes all the caffeine in the world just won't fix things. So it's possible that I might have had a small tendency to procrastinate when I was in college. So actually, when I was starting to teach the Discovery 301 class for the growth track, I discovered that people with my personality type tend to be overly optimistic about how much we can accomplish in a certain amount of time. So there's this way of procrastinating that's kind of like the lazy procrastinating, like, I don't feel like doing that. Like, I'm just going to chill and not get to that. There's this other type of procrastinating that's like the juggling procrastinating. Like, I have 50 things on this list I need to get done today, and I'm not getting them all done. That's okay. I'll just push some of this to tomorrow. And then you get to tomorrow, and the list is just as long. Oh, it's all right. I'll push it to the next day. So that was my procrastinating. My season then in college was pretty intense. I had this class my first semester of my freshman year, this class where we had a reading assignment each week, and we had to write a paper every week that was due on Thursday on this reading assignment. And so he let us know at the beginning of the semester that those papers were going to add up to be our final grade for the class. There was no final exam in this class. So they're due every Thursday, and it's the entire portion of our grade. But he built in this grace system in his timeline where anything we didn't turn in on a Thursday, there was one day at the end of the semester, the last day of class, that we could turn in any of the papers we had missed without a penalty. So you either turn it in on that Thursday or you turn it in the last day of class, and it adds up to be your final grade. Well, let me tell you, I took full advantage of that grace system that semester. So by the end of the semester, we're coming up to the due date, and I have 6 papers to write. 6 papers with 6 reading assignments that I haven't read. Also, at the beginning of the semester, I had gotten a speeding ticket that I hadn't taken care of yet. So it happened that the due date for defensive driving and the due date for these papers was the same day. So of course, my solution was I signed up for the 6-hour defensive driving class the night before it was due. So 6 p.m. to midnight, I was in defensive driving and figured I'll just pull an all-nighter, crank out those papers after that, and then turn everything in the morning and be done, right? So this defensive driving class, they had a vending machine where they would sell chocolate-covered espresso beans. And I spent a lot of money in that vending machine that night. I knew this is going to be valuable for me. I need this caffeine. So I was eating them the whole time during the defensive driving class. So I get done, and I'm pretty awake. Like, I'm wired. I can handle this. I can tackle it. I get back to the dorm and sit out in the main area. I didn't want to be tempted to, like, lay in my bed in my dorm. So I sit out in the main study area. I'm writing. I'm cranking through these papers, getting them done, reading as fast as I can, writing as fast as I can. In the middle of the 6th paper, I just fell asleep. My face on the table, on the book, totally conked out. Well, I woke up, and it's already, like, bright, sunny outside, and I knew I had missed my class. It was an early morning class. Like, this is the day. If I don't turn in these papers at this class, like, I'm going to fail this class. I'm going to lose credit. So I panicked. I got all my stuff, all my papers in my backpack. I'm, like, still wearing the clothes I wore the day before. Like, this is, like, running up the campus to my professor's class or to my professor's office, hoping he was still there. And he was, and I had nothing. Like, I had no brilliant excuse. Like, I couldn't come up with anything to say why I had left all this to the last minute. I just told him the truth. Like, I thought I could get all these done, and here's what happened. And I still don't know why he had compassion on me, but he took my papers, and he ended up giving me a B in the class, and I was thankful, very thankful. I had a full class schedule that semester, and I was working 2 jobs to try and just get myself through school. So I just pretty much stayed tired all the time. I had this computer science class that was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And my day on the day I had that class started at 7:30 in the morning. I had early classes, and then I would go straight from those classes to a job, work for a couple hours, and then I would buy lunch on my way across campus and eat as I'm walking to the computer science class. So I get into this class, and it's in a theater where it's like big stadium seating, and he had all the lights down real low, like the AC was this perfect temperature. And I would sit up in the back, and this professor was like, he was an older guy who was just super monotone, and he would just read the slides at the projector and not look up. So, like, there's no eye contact keeping me engaged. I'm up here in this dark room, and he's speaking this computer science language that is completely foreign to me. Like, I'm lost from the get-go. And I could not stay awake, y'all. I would fall asleep every single class. I would try so hard, but I would just fall asleep. And I was getting more and more behind in this class because it was very, you know, over my head. It was very confusing to me. So one time I decided I'm going to try no-dos. I had heard good stories about people getting no-dos and pulling all-nighters. And like, that's going to help me. That caffeine will keep me awake. So I took no-dos that day at work. And I go, and I'm all excited I'm going to stay awake through this class. And I'm jittery, like I felt the caffeine kicking in, and I'm sitting up there in that seat, and my pencil's shaking in my hand, you know, and I can't sit still in my seat, I'm fidgeting, but I'm telling you, halfway through that class, even with my pencil still like shaking in my hand, I start nodding off and falling asleep. Like my body was responding to the caffeine, but my brain was done. My brain was like, please, for the love, take a nap. So I ended up dropping the computer science class. I did not get a B in that class. So, you know, there's intense seasons like that that are just beyond our ordinary life. But there's also seasons of simply just being worn out from the daily grind. You know, the alarm clock goes off in the morning, and when I pick up my phone, there's already this task list that's like so long. This to-do list pops up on my phone before I'm even fully awake. And it's showing me all the things that I know there's no way I can accomplish all this today without like cloning myself or something. And before I'm even fully awake and out of bed, I know that tomorrow's gonna feel the exact same way. It gets exhausting. So what's the solution? Vacation, right? Call in sick for work, get a babysitter for the day and just go escape somewhere. Or at least, if you can't do that, hide in the closet and eat all the leftover Halloween candy. Because you got to escape somehow, right? And we really don't have to look very hard to find permission to escape. You see it on little inspirational quotes on Facebook every day. Like, I brought some of these that I saw this week. Don't forget to sit back and relax every once in a while. You deserve it. No rest is worth anything except the rest that is earned. So you know you've worked hard. You know you've earned this. Note to self, relax. You're enough. You have enough. You do enough. Don't feel guilty for treating yourself. You've worked so hard. And reading those feels so good. It feels so nice. It's like this big glass of iced tea, this refreshing drink for my thirsty soul. But here's the deal. It's a weaker counterfeit of the rest that God expects us to live in. That's the gift that he wants to give us. This gift that we leave sitting unopened. It's what he wants to give us. Because here's where that philosophy that we just see on Facebook all the time starts to crumble. What if you didn't really act like a good mom this week? Even the best moms, we can't nail it 100% of the time, no matter how hard you try. What if you were selfish and grumpy with your coworkers or with your family this week? So then you didn't earn that me time. You blew your "I deserve some me time so I can take care of myself" line the minute you lost your temper, or you didn't keep the house clean, or you forgot to pay the bills on time. Like, insert whatever your thing is that means you're being good enough, whatever thing in your mind means you're getting it right, what your standard is. As soon as you blow that, you've lost your ability to earn this rest. So what is God's solution for us? He lays it out for us. In Leviticus 23:3, God said, "There are 6 days when you may work, But the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. So look at this verse, because I'm pretty sure that it doesn't say there are 6 days when you may work, and then if you get it right and you nail it, then you can earn a day off after that. Like, that's not what God said. He said, you are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. Sabbath rest is not earned. Most of the time when we have an opportunity to rest, we either push ourselves harder, we take that time off and think, I'm gonna use this to redeem all the stuff I've messed up. I'm gonna use my day off to catch up. Or I'm so exhausted that I take the break anyways, but I feel guilty because I know I didn't earn it. I know I haven't checked everything off my list and done everything right to earn this day off, to earn this rest. The thing is, neither of those allows us the soul level rest that we need. God is not expecting us to earn our rest. He knows we're gonna blow it, but he gives us this gift of rest anyways. And the truth is, even if we do have that golden week where we perform awesome and we nail it and we get it all right, and we're thinking we really do deserve this day off because we have nailed this week, those escapes still aren't gonna give us that soul level rest that we're craving. Because there's a deeper kind of exhaustion or weariness that comes even when we have enough hours with our eyes shut or enough vacation days. So taking a day off isn't enough. That is because Sabbath rest is more than just relaxing. Have you ever taken vacation time and still been exhausted when you get done with it? You take this time off and then you come back to real life, you're like, what on earth? I'm supposed to be rested. This did not work. I failed at vacation. I didn't achieve rest, you know? And this is because there's internal issues that can drain us on this deep soul level, even when according to our circumstances, we're supposed to be refreshed. I've come back from vacation before and had people asking, so you feel good? You refreshed? Like, no. I feel like a total failure because I don't even know how to take a vacation the right way. So, you know, we feel like we're not producing enough. If we feel like that, when we feel like we're not producing enough, it affects our value. We feel like we're not valuable enough. We think that if we aren't advancing our career fast enough, if we're not achieving that next level of pay, if we're not producing Pinterest-worthy gifts for each one of our teachers, kids' teachers at the end of the year, we look at that and we think we're failing at life. So even when we take a break from being productive, from our daily routine, and we think that we're resting, there's this nagging unrest in our soul. It's telling us we're not measuring up, we're failing. Because we may unplug from our daily routine, but we don't put down the measuring stick that tells us we're inadequate. And as long as we're carrying that weight of not measuring up, it's impossible for us to find the kind of rest that God wants us to live in. But look at what Jesus offers. Matthew 11:28-30. Then Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Trying to prove ourselves, trying to be good enough to be valuable, that is such a heavy weight to carry. We find rest for our souls in Jesus because the burden that he gives us never carries with it that weight of having to prove ourselves. We don't have to prove we're good enough because he knows we're not good enough. God knows that we can't do this. He's not asking us to earn this rest. He is good enough. He lived the perfect life that I will never be able to achieve. And then he says this, hey, how about I take the consequences of what you deserve? And then here, why don't you go ahead and take what I deserve, what I've earned? That's amazing. He tells me that he wants me to rest in obedience to him. This is why I love Jesus, because his answer to exhaustion is so beautiful. Hebrews 4:9 says, so there's a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors. just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. He tells me that he wants me to take a rest, take a break in obedience and submission to him. That sounds kind of too good to be true, right? It's kind of like this. The other night we came home, it was like 8:30 at night. It was a school night, we were coming back from some activity, and I'm running around trying to get everything taken care of for bed, and you know, kids, we need to find your pajamas, and Brenna, my 15-year-old, puts on this movie. Like, it's 8:30, it's a school night, this is not movie night. Like, do you have any homework you need to finish? She said, well, this is my homework. I've got to watch this movie for class. We're talking about it tomorrow. Like, oh, well, sweet. Okay, watch a movie. That's awesome. Like, have you ever had an assignment like that? Like, hey, yeah, my boss wants me to check out all the local golf courses. So this week for work, I'm going to be playing golf. Like, sweet. That's awesome. That's exactly what God is giving us. It's just like those examples. What a gift. But how many of us leave that gift sitting unopened? We either think that we don't need it. I'm not that tired. Like, I can keep going. I'm strong enough to not need a rest. I'm strong enough to power through this. Or it sounds like the opposite of what we need. I'm already so exhausted trying to get everything done. If I take a day off, next week's going to be horrible. There's no way I'll catch up. We can't see that what's inside this gift is beyond what we can imagine. It's beyond what our human ability can accomplish. So not only is it a gift for us, but Sabbath rest is an act of worship. You're obedient. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're resting, relaxing, having fun, but you're also trusting God. And any time that we trust God, he receives that as a beautiful act of worship. Rest and trust are intricately connected. If we're finding our hearts struggling with one of those issues, we need to check and see how we're doing on the other one. Am I finding it hard to rest? Am I finding it hard to take a day off? How much am I really trusting God? Because that's what Sabbath rest is. It's God saying, as your creator, I'm going to ask you to trust me, that I know what you need. I also want you to recognize that life isn't going to fall apart if you're not productive for a little bit. Trust me that I'm big enough to hold things together, to take care of you and your family when you take a day to rest. And I can tell you this, God has proven faithfully that he will take care of this. He will show up in my life when I'm intentional about taking a day to rest and a day to stop being productive. When I obey him in this, he has come through every single time. And really, this isn't a concept that I've always understood. It was actually the summer of 2014. God changed me while I was on a cruise. We had a big group from Promised Land, took a church cruise together. And when we went, I was so ready for a vacation. I was living my life at that point in a place of never feeling like I was performing well enough in any area. As a mom, at work, as a friend, I felt like I was never spending enough time with God, like I was always falling short. And life just kept happening at such a fast pace that I never felt like I could relax because I never could catch up. So we had this 5-day cruise and I was ready. I saw those 5 days as my chance to catch up. I'd have time to devote to my kids and my husband and my friends without busy schedules getting in the way. I brought a couple of books that would help me be more effective in my job and in ministry. I brought my Bible and my journal and a bunch of highlighters. I was going to spend hours just being with God and connecting with God. I had 5 days to catch up on all these areas where I felt like I was falling short and not measuring up. So on our second day on the ship, we're just getting into this. The whole group from Promised Land met in this little piano room just for a little time of short worship and kind of a little devotion time to connect before we went and did all our cruising stuff. As we sat in that room, Pastor Robin talked about the importance of truly resting on that trip. He said, if you do any reading, don't let it be a self-help book. Make it a novel. Read something that's fun that you can relax to. If you're following a scripture reading plan, take a break while you're on this trip. If you're going to read the Bible, do it because you're really just wanting to enjoy that time spending with God, not that you're following this system, this plan. Don't brainstorm solutions about issues at work or at home. Just stand on the balcony, look at the ocean, look at the sky, think about how beautiful it is, and then tell God that you think it's beautiful. Like, just be there and enjoy his presence. That moment in that piano room changed me because I realized that I didn't even know how to rest like that. It was like a foreign concept. It felt wasteful to me. Like, I had this chance to catch up, and I was just going to waste it by not catching up. It didn't make sense to me, but I trusted enough to try it. So I went back to my cabin, and I put away all those books I had brought to help me with work. I put away my highlighters and everything else, and I just left out my novel that I could sit out by the pool and read. My Bible reading the rest of that week was I would open and read a verse, maybe two verses, and then close my Bible and just sit and look at the ocean and just think about how good God is and how much he loves me and how much I love him. Let me tell you, I have never experienced deeper rest and refreshment than I did on those several days. And it changed the way I approached life when I got back home. So I started intentionally implementing a day of Sabbath rest in my life and really working hard at setting that day aside where I'm not trying to prove that I'm valuable. I'm not doing things to try and be more productive, to try and be a better mom, a better employee, a better friend. I'm going to take that time and say, God, I know I'm not enough, but you're enough. And you've given me this gift of rest, so I'm going to rest in you today. And you know, sometimes that looks like just laying a blanket out under a tree and laying up and looking at the clouds for a couple hours, like we did when we were kids, you know, just thinking about whatever pops into my mind, just hanging out. Sometimes it's sitting with my kids, putting a puzzle together, just not worrying about the laundry or the projects or whatever that needs to get done, just hanging out. Sometimes it's just getting in nature, taking a hike. So I implemented that system in my life, and I really started feeling refreshed. And just a few months later, a few months after the cruise, 2015 hit me like a sack of bricks. That year, I got hit with issue after issue, with relationships, with work, with my family, with two floods, with a tornado that hit my house. If there was ever a year when I should have felt the need to keep plowing through and to work harder to make sure things turned out okay, it was last year. But I didn't. I didn't do it because God had taught me the value and the power of trusting him and obeying him in this Sabbath rest. And so when everything in my life was screaming at me that I needed to be working harder, I needed to be thinking of a solution, I needed to be becoming a better person, I needed to be working on these issues, everything in my life was telling me all of this. And I put it to the side, said, you know what, that'll still be there tomorrow. Today, it's just me and God. I'm just hanging out. I'm not gonna prove anything. And I know that is something God did. It's a tool he gave me. It's a gift he gave me to be able to get through last year in the way that my family did. And I can tell you this for sure, that trusting God by working 6 days and resting one day, he took care of us better than I could have taken care of myself just doing it on my own and not resting. He did amazing things in my family last year. And the thing is, it really boils down to trust. God says to rest, to devote one day a week to resting, actually. And if you're making yourself so important in your own eyes that you feel like taking a day off is gonna make everything crumble and fail, then you need to take a step back and assess who's really sitting on the throne in your life. Are you really trusting God, or are you trusting yourself that you're gonna get this stuff done? I may not know a lot, but I do know this, that it's a lot smarter to trust in God than to trust in me. He's given us this gift. It's beautiful. It's sitting there waiting for us to open it. Let's open it. Let's see how God proves himself when we act in obedience and rest, even when it goes against what our culture tells us. It goes against what our own logic tells us. Let's obey God in this and see what he does in our lives. It's a beautiful thing. Let's all stand and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much. God, you've given us amazing, abundant gifts, more than we can even count, more than we can even acknowledge at one time. But God, today we focus on this, your gift of Sabbath rest. It's beautiful, God. It's a more beautiful gift than anything our culture could give us, than anything we could do on our own. And we step out in faith today, and God, we say, yes, I'm gonna open this. I will trust you in this. I'll begin being obedient in this and watch what you do in my life and the rest you can bring. Lord, we trust you today. We ask that you would move in our lives. Move, God, in the situations that look impossible. Let us be able to see your glory and your power as we take a step back and watch you work. We choose to trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, that was a great word for every one of us. So refreshing and so positive. God's able. Amen. If you're not a mother, you may be seated. All the mothers, please remain standing. Before you leave today, we want to honor you with this gift. Can I have one of these and just kind of show you? This is the hottest thing out here, moms. These are adult coloring books, and these are Christian inspirational designs for women of faith. So you can rest while you're just doodling on these. Moms, come on down. If you're a mom, come on down and grab one of these. And this is just one little token, one little sign of our appreciation for you. I just want to say thanks to all the moms that are volunteering today on Mother's Day. We have an incredible group of moms that are serving, teaching your kids, greeting the tech booth on the platform up here today. And so let's give all of our moms a hand that were serving you today on Mother's Day. Thank you, moms. Well, we pray God's going to bless you. Let's just ask God's blessing as we leave out of this place today. God, we pray that your face would shine on us, be gracious to us, that you would lead us by your Spirit. And Lord, that we would walk out of this place led by you, that you would guide our footsteps, that you would help us no matter where we're headed this week, no matter what plans or what's on our agenda, what people we have to connect with this week. God, we pray you're going to be with us everywhere we go. And God, all the moms in the place, let them feel like $1 million today because of who you are and what you're going to do and have done in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming today. We love you all.
Set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze.